This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. We'll talk about, well, the media. Why are they focused on the gender of pilots? What's going on there? The Switzerland women's soccer team got crushed by a bunch of teenage boys. Beach vacations in North Korea. John Cornyn is 100% going to resign. All that, emails, and so much more coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. And another reminder that tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So, the American media has been all over one aspect of the bombing mission over there in Iran. And that was the gender of the pilots. Right away, a bunch of people, Pete Hegseth, others came out and they made statements. Hey, just wanted to thank our boys. Job well done. The American media, Jennifer Griffin in particular, but there are others, said, well, there's at least one woman. But what about the women? Hegseth went after it.
And I don't care if it's a male or a female in that cockpit, and the American people don't care. But it's the obsession with race and gender in this department that's changed priorities. And we don't do that anymore. We don't play your little games.
There's something we have to remember about the people we're up against, and it's hard. It's hard to understand it. To be honest with you, I don't fully understand it. Maybe you do, I don't. But there is a suicidal aspect to the promoters of communism, whatever kind of communism it is, whether it's cultural Marxism or climate stuff or LGBT. There's a suicidal aspect to it that people who aren't suicidal don't really get. For instance, if we're talking about pilots, we'll talk about bomber pilots, actually, fighter pilots, all pilots, military pilots. For you, a normal person, no matter how far to the right you are, whether you're me or slightly moderate or whatever, no matter what, you would probably, hopefully, you would agree with me that the sex of the pilot doesn't matter. I don't care if it's a man or a woman, it's just the best person for the job, right? And why? Well, because if you always pick the best person for the job, then you'll have better pilots. It's very obvious. Okay, well, let me ask you. Why are you against forced diversity of not just pilots, of anything? Why? Well, if I came out and said, well, we've got a new policy, 15% of our pilots will be women and 20% will be black, you would be against that, wouldn't you? Of course you would. Why? Well, the quality would go down. It's about the quality to you. The quality would go down. All right, well, let's follow that road a little bit. The quality goes down of our pilots, bomber pilots, fighter pilots. What are the results of that? People die. That's the result. Our people, other people, when you reduce the quality of something like a pilot, it will cost people's lives. Now, everything I just said is obvious, and any normal person with above room temperature IQ knows what I just said is true. You don't even have to be a Republican or something like that. Everybody, every normal person knows what I just said is true. Okay, so why do they push it then? If it's going to kill people, if firing a bunch of white people who pass the air traffic controller test because they're white, just so you could hire people who weren't white, if that's going to kill people, and by the way, they did this. This is something that happened. There's a lawsuit that's ongoing. If that's going to kill people, why would you do it? Well, they're okay with killing people. They're okay with it. They want to. It's hard for non-suicidal people to accept that destroying things is the goal. There is a mentality that things must be destroyed. People have to be hurt. People have to die. People have to die. If we are going to complete our communist revolution, then it's not that we're okay with people dying. We want them to die because we understand that casualties are simply the cost of doing business. You can't have a revolution without any casualties. So you can hold up to the communist and say to them, well, hey, Mamdani, your policies for New York City are insane. It's going to bankrupt the city. The businesses will leave. You'll have less tax revenue. The cops are going to retire. This is going to result in violent crime. People will die. You can point to this guy. You could hook this guy up to a lie detector test and tell him that what he's about to say here is going to destroy things.
I've proposed is that we raise $10 billion to pay for our entire economic agenda and start to Trump-proof our city, because we know he'll use federal funding as leverage over this city. And we will do so in two key ways. The first is to match the state's top corporate tax rate to that of New Jersey. We are at 7.25%. They're at 11.5%. Corporations can pay it over there. They can pay it over here. And the beauty of it is that it doesn't just apply to corporations headquartered in New York City, because when you say this, people will say, well, they're going to go to Florida. Mm-hmm. Wherever you are headquartered, as long as you do business in the state of New York, you are taxable for that corporate tax.
But that's going to destroy business in New York City. Businesses will leave. The city will be poor. But he knows. He knows. That's what he wants. If you could present the American communist, if he was forced to tell the truth, you gave him some version of CIA truth serum, and you could give him two options, and option A was, we will have 1,000 pilots, and they will all be male, and the result is we won't have any American troops die. That's option A. Or B, we can have 1,000 pilots, 50% of them will be female, and as a result, 1,000 troops will die. The American communists would choose option B all day long without a second thought, and the American communist, every communist really, the American communist would sleep like a baby the night 500 troops died as a result of what they want. The destruction is the goal. It's not an accident. It's not as if these people are just some big, stupid oaf who's super strong, who doesn't know how to pet the puppies without killing them. It's not as if the American communist is Lenny from Mice and Men and he just keeps accidentally murdering every single thing he gets his hands on. He's trying to murder it. The existing structures, all of them, the existing church, the existing government, the existing military, the existing schools, Hollywood, whatever it is, it's all part of a structure of evil that must be destroyed and burned. And loss of life is not an unfortunate side effect. It's the intended goal. So we don't share their values. And so we'll hold up a piece of paper being like, well, wait a minute. We actually have a study where the Marine Corps, they mixed women into the infantry units and they did a big test. And the units that had women mixed in did far worse on every single metric. They were hurt more. They couldn't shoot as well. They couldn't do the drills. The female integrated units were worse in every possible way. And if we send these female integrated units into combat, it will result in American troops dying. Here it is, black and white, on paper. You make that argument to your liberal Aunt Peggy. You think to yourself, wow, that's as convincing as it gets. It's black and white. Surely when she finds out American troops will die, surely that will change her thinking. Oh my gosh, she knew that anyway. She doesn't care. Yeah, some American troops have to die. A small price to pay for feminism. A small price to pay. Don't make the mistake. I make this mistake too. When I tell it to you, I make the same mistake too. It's human nature to look at somebody else who's a flesh and blood human being on the outside. Two eyes, two hands, two legs, two everything. That's a normal flesh and blood human being. Surely that person shares my value system. Maybe not exactly, but surely the basics, right? At least human life, the kids, or protecting women, or not at all. Not even a little bit. That person doesn't share your value system at all. Unbelievable, but it's true. All right, let's do some emails before we talk about vacationing in North Korea. Let's keep your dog alive longer, though, first. You know why our dogs die so early here in America, right? They don't ever get nutrition. American dogs eat what? Dog food. What color is your dog's food? It's brown. Dead things are brown. Things that are alive are what? What color are they? Green. Your dog dies because your dog never gets vitamins and minerals. Probiotics. Digestive enzymes. Omega oils. Your dog never gets these things. Unless, of course, you start sprinkling rough greens on your dog's food. What would another year or two with your dog, what would that be worth to you? What would not having to go to the vet every couple months be worth to you? Start sprinkling rough greens on your dog's food. You will see physical differences in your dog like you can't possibly imagine. Just like you feel different when you start eating better, introduce your dog to nutrition for the first time and watch a different, better dog come alive. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's clean out some emails in preparation for tomorrow, shall we? Jesse, the subject of this one is no way. A cheetah is designed to murder living things. You're designed to murder Cheddar Bay biscuits. Without a weapon, you have no chance. All right. A little rude, but is this one too. The subject of this one is taking bets on the cat fight. Hey, Jesse. A few months ago, I got attacked by a mother cat protecting her kittens. Before I knew what was happening, she scaled me like a tree, jumped onto my face, locked her claws onto the back of my head, and proceeded to carve me up like a turkey. When I finally ripped her off, she came at me again. I kicked out with everything I had, but she grabbed my leg like an MMA champ and climb me again. By the way, she weighed 12 pounds. Good luck with the cougar. He'll be picking his teeth at red, Jesse. P.S. Like Trump, you're a freak of nature. God picked you for the mission you're on. No one can do what you do. I speak as a jealous former radio host. Says his name is Sam. Okay, Sam. Let's talk about the cheetah thing and the house cat. I've had a bunch of these emails. There are a lot of people who have been, frankly, a little bit rude about my cheetah fighting techniques. They've been judgmental, people questioning things. So let's talk about your house cat issues. You know why the house cat, you fighting the house cat, would be so much different than me fighting a cheetah? The size. And I don't mean this in the way you think. Of course the cat was able to evade you and then climb on your face and climb up your leg. It was tiny. It was only 12 pounds. There is diminishing returns when we're talking about size and shrinkage here. The cheetah is actually the perfect size for me to take on because it's 120, 130, 140 pounds. It's not going to be able to zip around and climb my leg and things like that because it's just too big. We're not talking about sprints here. We are talking hand-to-hand combat. There's no way I'm not going to be able to get my hands on the cheetah. The house cat had an advantage the cheetah will not have. A 12-pound house cat can dart here and there and climb up the leg. The cheetah is big enough for me to grab, but not so big that it can overpower me because of the weight. Clearly, you haven't thought about this like I have. Jesse, I think it's really funny the same people who supported lockdowns and shutting down the economy due to COVID are also the same people that telling us deported illegals will wreck the American economy. Well, there's a couple things at work here. First, remember that a lot of people want to be told what to believe, what to think. The world of make-believe your liberal Aunt Peggy lives in has been created for her by the communists in the media and the Democrat Party, and she wants to live in it. I'm going to play you something. It'll sound unrelated. I'm not. This is Jessica Tarlov of Fox News talking about the Iran attacks.
I feel like there's this strong argument that Democrats can be making about how Joe Biden governed and the foreign policy moves that he made that set Trump up for success in this moment. And I really wish that we could have a broader contextualized conversation about foreign policy. We didn't just like wake up on January 21st of 2025 and that was the beginning of all of this. And there's so much that went on over the course of the last 4 years, from weakening Russia, what Israel did using our weapons, the Ukrainians did using our weapons, President Biden allowing this to happen, that has provided for hopefully what is a good result. And I think that there is to some degree a victory lap that the Democrats should be able to take on this.
Joe Biden and the Democrats deserve the credit for the popular Iranian strikes that Donald Trump ordered. Obviously, that's insane. It is. Of course, it's insane. It doesn't have any foundation in reality at all. But why does she say this? She probably knows that. Why does she say this? Because she understands your liberal Aunt Peggy at home is a herd animal who wants to be led, wants to be told what to think, what to say. Just tell me where to go. It's safe and easy to be a sheep in the herd. To keep liberal Aunt Peggy happy and in the herd, the American media, American Democrats, will create and carefully maintain a world of make-believe. That's why when you talk to the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life, it's like you're talking to a separate species who's never really existed in reality. In a way, they haven't. You see horrible hypocrisy in people who supported lockdowns, yet they're defending illegals. But liberal Aunt Peggy doesn't concern herself with things like consistency or hypocrisy or lies or truth or destruction or any of those things, because she is a herd animal. She just wants to be told where to go and what to do, because that is such a safe existence. She's not trying to think or be right or be smart about things. She's quite happy being in the center part of that herd, going whichever way the herd is going. For her, that's happiness. It's weird, but it is what it is. Let's talk about men and women's sports in North Korea. Next.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Remember, you can email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in right now, and they are stacking up. It's going to be such a great Friday. Email your questions in to Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. One more thing on the world of make-believe. How these people can say the most absurd lies and your liberal Aunt Peggy will believe it and regurgitate it, and to her core, she will know that it's true. Listen to Jamal Bowman on CNN.
You can't be calm about this. I'm a black man in America. The reason why heart disease...
I'm white, I can't comment.
Listen to what I'm saying. The reason why heart disease and cancer and obesity and diabetes are bigger in the black community is because of the stress we carry from having to deal with being called the N-word.
What? Yeah, Jamal, that's it. Now, that's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. It's laugh-inducing. It's crazy. Nobody would believe it. Yes, they would. If you sit and consume mainstream media, you've been through America's university system, you live in a blue area, you're in the heart of L.A., you believe a thousand things that are not factually correct. Your entire life is built on lies like that. It's true. Oh, and one more thing. I have to address a rumor that's been going around and shoot it down immediately.
I don't want to fight. I just want to chill. I just want to not. I was walking down the street the other day. Some white dude, bald head, he looked me, called me a piece of shit in my face, said, I'm going to get what's coming to me.
That was not me. I'm tired of people emailing the show asking why I said that to Jamal Bowman. I'm not even that bald, and it was not me. I need to shoot that rumor down immediately. Also, Jewish producer Chris has been dealt a heavy, heavy blow. You know that he is in a lot of ways, he's very sick. He's a very sick person. And he has always wanted to go to North Korea. To you, normal person, that sounds crazy. You think about all the torture that happens there, the gulags, the unbelievable misery. I mean, what is the food even good? No, they're all starving. It's horrible. So that would turn you off. That would turn me off. I don't want to go to North Korea. The element of danger, Jewish producer Chris finds it appealing. Don't ask me. I don't know why he just finds it appealing. Okay? He was dealt a heavy blow because of this story from the BBC that North Korea is going to open up a beach resort. I initially saw this and I thought to myself, well, Chris can finally go to North Korea. And I told him about it. He immediately was deflated and said, well, that's no fun. The danger is all gone. You have a sickness, Chris. You have a sickness. But hear me out. Just hear me out. Can't I argue? I realize I just insulted the food, but using my own restaurant rules, which we'll cover again in a second, can't I argue that the food at that resort has the potential to be some of the greatest food you've ever had in your life? Allow me, I know you say it's not going to be, Chris. Allow me to explain. Chris is well aware of my restaurant rules, but let's cover them again for people who are new. Remember that I am not an intelligent person. I don't have a lot of skill. I really am not very good at many things. But I do food really, really well. Really well. I know what to eat, where to go. I know food. It's who I am. I call me the menu whisperer for a reason. I'm very good at what to eat. I get this from my father. Now, I have noticed something after 43 years of eating in various restaurants in various towns. I was always working out of town for construction or whatever. So I've been to a lot of different cities, a lot of different countries, a lot of different restaurants in different countries. And there is one thing that it's not a universal rule, keep in mind, but it's pretty consistent. The better location and or the hotter the waitresses, the worse the food. If you tell me, Jesse, you got to come down and eat at this restaurant, it's right on the beach. It's right on the beach, and all the waitresses are 25-year-old supermodels with little short shorts on. No interest whatsoever. It's not because I don't like the beach. It's not because I'm gay. I was in the Marines, not the Navy. It's because human beings, all of us, we're all oftentimes as good as we have to be. We're as good as we have to be. A restaurant on the beach, maybe with some cute waitresses. They don't have to come up with better recipes. They don't have to go out every single morning and get fresh burger buns. They can use yesterday's burger buns. Maybe the day before. Is it a little stale? Sure, but everyone's going to want to eat on the beach. Everyone wants to pretend like that waitress is actually flirting with them. They'll still show up. There'll be a line out the door. We're taking reservations for the night. The rundown restaurant, off the beaten path, not great signage. The seats are kind of uncomfortable. They have to be great. That's why you walk in that little place and you're about to eat one of the best meals you've ever had in your life. I've told you before, my favorite restaurant, my Mexican restaurant in the Houston area, and there are many of them that I eat at and love, my favorite one is attached, physically attached to a laundromat. They have, I believe, three or four spaces, parking spaces, and because it's so full, human beings, they just park behind each other, and it's just understood when someone wants to leave, if your car is holding somebody in, you'll just get up and go move your car. I have to duck the entire way to the cash register because I'm pretty sure the roof is sagging in and ready to collapse. When they give you your tortilla chips, they will turn around right in front of you. I'm not making this up. And they will dig the tortilla chips out of a large gray trash can, one of the big ones where they keep them. Now, yes, the trash can's clean. Obviously, it's just for tortilla chips, but that's how unconcerned they are with appearances. Line out the door. You know who's going bankrupt? Hooters. You know why? Because the food freaking sucks. Now, let's talk again about this North Korean beach resort. Chris, I don't need to see these weird, oh my gosh, is that actually on the menu? Chris, are you looking that up right now? Chris is showing me pictures of a North Korean cookbook that has a lot of fish in it and stuff like that. Whatever Chris says, you're a North Korean beach resort. You are aware that you're going to have some challenges. There are going to be some challenges bringing in the tourist crowd. You're telling me they're not going to hire a good chef? They're not going to take extra time, fresh buns, better meat, better butter, better this, better that. It's not that I'm auditioning, Chris, but I kind of talked myself into it over the past couple minutes. I'll be honest with you. Part of me wants to test this theory. Chris, can we see when they open? And if maybe we can broadcast from there? Actually, you know what? That's probably a bad idea. China definitely wants to throw me in prison. They work with North Korea. Probably shouldn't go there. And I'm not sure how well an admitted anti-communist would fare in a communist country like North Korea. No, you know what? Never mind. But I'm telling you right now, you should go. I would encourage everybody to go. Before you do that, please get some gold in your physical possession. That way you can pass it down to your loved ones after North Korea pulls out your fingernails. And that's why you need to get a hold of Gold Co. Because your relatives may be mourning your loss, but at least they will have some financial stability after you are gone. And Gold Co. provides that. They get precious metals as part of your retirement. You know, your retirement, it's a given, should have some precious metals. Why? Not because it's shiny and nice. Because it raises the floor on how far the thing can drop if this friggin' bubble pops on us. You heard what Jerome Powell said. And physical gold or physical silver. Don't go crazy. I know that stuff is expensive. And I know you don't have a freaking vault in your house. But some sort of physical value. You're just going to bank on the dollar forever? There's a reason nations are piling up gold as we speak. You do the same with the best gold company out there. A-plus rated from the Better Business Bureau. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember? Remember a while ago, just remember, I know Chris has it written down. Believe me, when it happens, I'm going to be obnoxious. So don't worry if you don't remember. But remember when I told you that John Cornyn is going to drop out of his reelection race for Senate? John Cornyn is the worthless piece of trash. He's a United States senator from the state of Texas. He's been able to hold that Senate seat because for the longest time, the most worthless voter in the country has been the GOP primary voter in red states. They're not motivated enough to get involved. Therefore, we have a bunch of red state senators that are destroying the United States of America, enabling every horrible communist impulse. Looking at you, South Carolina. Anyway, beyond that, Texas has been just as guilty as everyone else. But the GOP primary voter is waking up. John Cornyn screwed the voters over one too many times. And we have yet another poll that just came out showing that John Cornyn is not losing in his primary to Ken Paxton. He's getting slaughtered. Double-digit losing. So I'm just going to repeat the prediction I made before because, well, we'll be playing it again. Cornyn is not going to allow himself to be humiliated by losing a primary election. If these polls continue for another few months, if all that money he's raising, if he can't manage to close the gap with all that money, Cornyn is going to bow out. And he'll lie like every other politician lies and say that he wants to spend more time with family or something like that, which is a lie. These people hate their families and their families hate them. But he'll lie about that and ride off into the sunset. And the reason this is so wonderful, there's a couple reasons. First, that these polls are so lopsided is doing something that's huge. It's keeping Donald Trump out of the race, meaning Donald Trump is not going to endorse John Cornyn when every poll shows John Cornyn losing by double digits. Trump's historically bad endorsements of GOP candidates oftentimes tracks with the fact that Trump loves frontrunners. He loves winners. It's not necessarily ideological for him. If you're winning in the primary, he'll want to be seen as helping you win, associated with a winner, and he will endorse you. Even if he's tempted to endorse John Cornyn, and John Thune is trying to get him to do so, even if he's tempted to, there's no way that Donald Trump is throwing his name, his weight behind a candidate who's going to lose, because that would mean he's going to lose. It's just not going to happen. So the bad polling keeps Trump out of the race on Cornyn's side. At this point in time, it wouldn't surprise me if Trump endorses Paxton, because he thinks Paxton's going to win. So that's one. Two, it pays to take a scalp. It pays to send a message. Genghis Khan didn't build a mountain of human skulls outside of the cities he conquered and then slaughtered just because he was a sadistic madman. He may have been a sadistic madman, but that's not why he did it. He did it to send a message. That kind of thing sends a message to every other city that when we show up outside of your gates and we tell you to open your gates, you should really do so because look at what happened to the last city. GOP senators from red states have grown accustomed to screwing their voters over when they can. Not all the time, but when they can. That's why James Lankford came out with amnesty last year, tried to get with Democrats to pass amnesty last year, because he's not up for re-election until 2028. So he was going to help them open up the border, help them amnesty a bunch of illegals, and then he knows by 2028 he just needs to run a bunch of ads in Oklahoma talking about how much he loves the border wall and Jesus, and he stands with Trump, and he's banking on GOP primary voters in Oklahoma being too weak and stupid to remember what he just tried to do to them. Now, it's understandable why he did that. It's evil, but it's understandable because it's always worked. It's always worked. They have six-year terms. When you're four or five years away from having to run for re-election again and the communists really need a win, you give them that win banking on the GOP primary voter, forgetting all about it. And that's exactly what John Cornyn did a couple years ago when he worked with the Democrats to pass gun control after the Uvalde school shooting. He thought he was far enough away from re-election. The voters, with the Texas voters, would do what they've always done. Ignore it. Forget about it. Yeah, I saw John Cornyn. He was standing with Trump. He must be one of us. That's what he thought we still were. But if we can put this scalp on the wall, it will do so much more than replace a bad senator. Maybe you don't even like Ken Paxton. That's fine. It will send a message to the Bill Cassidys of the world. It will send a message to the John Thunes, the Lindsey Grahams, the Mike Rounds. It'll send a message. You better be careful, sir, because the GOP primary voter is finally waking up. You, no matter where you're listening to the sound of my voice, you should be excited at the prospect of this, because there is a tiny cabal of GOPers in Washington, D.C., who are protecting every evil communist deed. A tiny cabal of red state GOPers who keep the foot in the door so it can't close on communism. Replacing one sends a message to the others.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Switzerland women's national soccer team reportedly gets clobbered by a bunch of teenage boys. Yes, men and women are physically different, and everybody knows it, but your liberal Aunt Peggy, because why? She is a herd animal. SCOTUS upholds a ban on Medicaid funds for Planned Parenthood. Every now and then, very rarely, but every now and then, the Supreme Court does something right. Florida's historic sting rescues dozens of kids and arrests alleged predators, and the nation's largest child rescue sweep. A reminder tonight to bow your head and say a prayer for all the children in this country, and there are many who are living a life of hell that we don't even know about. Tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're going to have a real good time. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.